good idea verbally of what they're doing with the funding that we provide.
Yeah, it's some of the smaller agencies that don't really come here to report that we'll get the written reports for. And just another note, they're all budgeted. And these are the budgeted amounts that you approve during your annual budget.
Yeah, and the Parks and Recreation, that is through New York State. So it's the trail maintenance entities. So that's
maybe a typo.
I don't know if we've ever given $5,000. I think it was always $1,000.
Yeah, if it was a thousand, I just,
yeah,
it was listed as
right
23 at that.
Then, right. That looks like a typo to me. So if yeah. You're comfortable, then it would be approving with the caveat the Dairy Festival would be level funding from 23.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I need a second.
Second.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
The next item is authorizing a public hearing for the 8-year review of the Agricultural District Number 5. So every 8 years, depending on when the district was established, we have to do a review of the whole district. During that 8-year period is the only time that if they're in the ag district, they have the opportunity to remove their parcels from the district. I did not receive any removals. But then as part of that process, we do have to have a public hearing for that. So that's authorized, requesting authorization for that.
Where is Ag District Number 5?
Ag District Number 5 is, I believe it's like Wayland, Avoca, Cohocton, kind of that area. And I can double check and send you a map too, because we have the maps of all the different districts too.
You could do that and then include also when those 8-year review would be up for each district. That'd be
okay.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Second. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, yeah. Go back. I was able to find in the budget, the 1,000 is what we've always provided. So approving the 1,000, that's what they've always gotten.
Thank you, Jack.
So I'll make the change on my spreadsheet to make the amount for 2023 1,000. And we're all fixed. Okay, the next thing is the accepting the 2023 CDBG project number 1115 WS33623 well and septic grant for $198,000 and authorization to enter into subrecipient agreement with Arbor Housing Development. So this is an application that we put in 2023 for the well and septic grant. It was approved for that $198,000. Arbor Housing and Development is responsible. They do all the work essentially for it, and then it funnels through the county. And so that's why we have a subrecipient agreement with them. The $198,000, it ends up funding about 10 projects per year. And they also have a wait list of about 30 to 40 people. So it's definitely a need. And it's one of those well and septic programs we've had for a couple of years in place as well.
Motion.
Second.
Second. Any further questions? Fred?
What are the qualifications to be eligible to participate in that well and septic grant?
This is for low-income households, so there is the income limits. It's 80% of the AMI. So there's a woman at Arbor Housing. She does all the intake applications to see if they actually apply or are able to apply for it. So it is the low income. And then also with that program too, they structure it so that it's 5 years. If you sell your property before the 5 years is up, you do need to repay for some of that funds that was used for that.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
The next item is approval to participate in round 4 of the New York State Septic System Replacement Program for eligible water bodies. So this is an infrastructure program that we do right here in the county through the planning department. The water bodies are the ones that are at risk. So you've got Juanita Lake, Smith Pond. This is the fourth round. Round one also had Cuca on it. And round 4 will have Cuca again. So this one, there aren't any income limits or anything like that, but the parcel has to be within 250 feet of that subject waterway. So basically the New York State and DC has determined that it's a water body that's at risk due to failing or failed septic. And that's why they also have that 250 feet, because likely if it's failed there, it's getting into the water body and polluting it. So there's also a large spreadsheet. They send us a spreadsheet that says, here's how many parcels we think are within 250 feet. Dan Kahopka, my GIS technician or coordinator, he has gone through and put what we think are there. That will go back to DEC and EFC. They'll kind of take a look at it. If there's any questions, then they decide what the amount is that we'll be eligible for. And then they apply through the county, and then it's 50% up to $10,000. So if it's $30,000 to replace the septic, they can get up to $10,000. If it was $16,000, they can get $8,000.
Thank you. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Any further questions?
How do the people know to apply for this? Do we advertise it or?
What we'll do is we'll be able to run a report of those water bodies or of the parcels that are within 250 feet and right. We can do a mass mailing.
Okay.
Right now with the last few, it's been word of mouth.
Yeah.
Unfortunately with that, the last 3 applications I've had have been over 250 feet from those waterways. So I've had to say, I'm sorry, unfortunately, you're not eligible because there's no good test to figure out. Because one of them says, well, there's a ditch right in front of my house that runs right down there. How do you test for that? And according to DEC and EFC, they're pretty strict on that. Because if they audit us, they could say, yeah, that test, you know, oil and water doesn't. Old water, I guess we'll say. So
250 is, I mean, that's pretty good distance.
Yeah, you know, it's when the ones right on the waterway.
Well, 100 feet from your septic system on a single lot.
And I think some have the holding tanks, but first they have to have either a failed or a likely to fail test.
Okay.
So usually a lot of times it's Colby from Yates County Soil and Water. They come out and test. Also Wayne County, you know, they have a lot of parcels that are right next to those. So they're pretty on top of that too. And then it's failed or likely to fail. And so I know Colby has mentioned it to a couple homeowners too, to say apply for it. But I think what we'd like to do is do a mass mailing, because probably since this started in 2018, there's probably been a lot of turnover in property ownership.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
And then I'm going to invite Edward Van Stein up here. He's going to talk about the Steuben County Coordinated Public Transit and Human Services Transportation Program. So he'll kind of explain what it is. And if you have any questions, you can ask him. Do you have any other questions of me for right now?
Any further questions? Oh. Thanks, Marie. Right. Thanks for explaining those programs.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Eddie Van Stein. I work for the Institute for Human Services Incorporated here in Bath, New York. And what I have presented to you all today is the Steuben County Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. This is a evolutionary document that needs to be approved by legislature every 4 years and able to be get 5310 funding and 5311 grant funding for our programs. I am basically here just to answer any questions, go over the document with any questions. I'm assuming that they all had it before in the, okay, awesome. About 7.5% of our county is covered by public transit right now. Obviously leaving the remainder of the county up for human need services like our volunteer driver programs, taxi cabs, ride share, all the above. So basically, in a nutshell, this plan is to make sure that everyone plays nice and we get our community where they need to go in the most efficient manner, using the resources that we have available today. Obviously, public transit is not the only option. So this is again an evolutionary plan that just is basically, in a nutshell, human services needs for the county. So that's. And I'm just looking for approval over this.
Motion.
Second. Any further questions? Kelly?
I see that this document was originated in 2019. So you're at your 4-year approval. Were there any changes made to it?
Yes, I did. I did make a change. I updated the 2020 census data.
Okay.
Which is located on page 5 of the plan. That data shows your workforce and healthcare. Basically, in a nutshell, the means of transportation to work, to healthcare, what the percentages are of people in the county based on the new census data. That's what's changed.
Okay. And then my other question is that transportation is part of our comprehensive plan. So it would seem to me that you and this plan would need to be a pretty big participant once we get that onto the table to start working more, because we need more transportation.
100%. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, how do you get there? How do you expand the percentage of service to the public? It's just further, I mean, because of the census,
knowledge of service, first of all, knowledge of service, letting people know that the bus is not the only option in our county. And as far as expansion, that is an evolutionary thing that we all are, to be honest, trying to figure out every single day. Right now, we really rely on in this county is our volunteer driver programs to get those transportation deserts, we'll say, that aren't covered by public routes to people where they need to go, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Contract stuff. Good. Thank you. First item, requesting authorization to extend contract with J.W. Danforth for chiller maintenance. It's going from $85,840 to $88,899, which is approximately 3%, 3.5% increase. This is the second year of 5 years. So this maintenance contract takes care of all of our chillers on all of our county office buildings. Annual checkups on it, so to speak, cleaning, as well as it's all inclusive for compressor replacement. So it's quite involved. It's a good contract. They're still beating the pricing from 4 years ago from our previous contractor before we got involved with J.W. Danforth 4 or 5 years ago. We had another group. And it's more inclusive, and we're doing a lot more buildings because since mental health buildings have been added, some other buildings that we didn't have initially. So it's been a good maintenance contract with them.
We're going to go through and improve these all at once.
Okay. All right.
So continue on, sir.
So requesting authorization, next one, to enter into a contract with Eastern Security for the monitoring and burglary alarms of Corning DMV and historical building in the amount of $970.80. This price has stayed the same. There's no change from last year. Next item, requesting authorization to contract with Imperial Door Maintenance of automatic door for the automatic door openers in the county office building complex, as well as one of the clerks. These are the automated doors that have some electric mechanical pieces to them that get serviced as we need them serviced for preventive maintenance, as well as if we call for an emergency. No change from last year in that one as well. Next item, requesting authorization to enter in contract with Stark Technology for generator maintenance for the annex building, county office building, record storage building, 911, and civil defense. This one's going from $4,100 to $5,225. The 911 generator came off a one-year warranty, so that's why there's an increase there. We received a couple other quotes. We checked on the pricing on this as well, and this is the lowest quoter. Next item, requesting authorization to enter into a contract for fire extinguisher inspections and maintenance for buildings and grounds departments, public works, and mental health. These are the fire extinguishers you folks obviously see around the buildings. They need to be monitored and inspected yearly, annually, as well as some stuff done internally. We recommend awarding to the lowest quote to Southern Tier Fire Extinguisher in the amount of $3,880. Last year's contract with them was $3,115. Two other contracts we checked on with some other folks as well. They're higher as and non-responsive. So that concludes all the contract renewals and agreements.
We have a motion.
Make a motion. Second. I'm sure all these have been budgeted.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jack?
Sure. Thank you. Two items for you today. We have a longstanding lease in five-year increments with the Steuben County Historical Society, who leases the McGee House down here from the Dorman Library, and we sublease half that space essentially for our, that's where our historian is, that's where county records are. Prices remain the same at $7,655 a year, so no change in price, but our five-year lease term, which is the max we can do, is expiring, so we'd like to renew for another 5 years.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
A second.
Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you. Second is the Hornell Humane Society. We brought you the new contract with them last month in terms of animal cruelty boarding. This is the Spirit program and the Trap, Spay, and Neuter program for feral cats that they do. The Spirit program is a program out at the jail where they work with the corrections side to bring animals out there to, they've had a lot of success stories. I think the sheriff has shared with you in the past in terms of, you know, giving activities for, you know, inmates and also, you know, some different skills and those sorts of things. It's been pretty well received. They requested, and we have budgeted $10,000 for that program, or for the two programs combined this year, and that is in your budget. So looking for authorization to execute the contract.
Motion.
So awesome. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Carries.
Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you, Jack. Outside agencies. Jamie, please. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Are we going to be able to do the PowerPoint presentation, or?
We're trying.
Okay. If not, you can send it out later. I just put some pretty pictures to my presentation. So Well, I appreciate, you know, the opportunity here, and I know we're running a little bit behind schedule, so I'll just get started and we can catch up with the slides and I'll have it sent out to you afterwards. I was asked to come today to talk specifically about work that we're doing with our regional IDAs in the Southern Tier Economic Development Corridor region to develop a strategy around clean tech and clean tech manufacturing. We've been talking with Broome County since last May about alignments between efforts that we're undertaking here with renewable energy generation and work that's going on down in that county with Binghamton University around battery technologies and battery research. You know, we know that, you know, it's important to think about economic development regionally. So we're in the process and what this strategy is going to do is develop a regional economic ecosystem that's going to leverage all of the assets that we have in the 8-county region. And that 8 counties stretches from Broome to Steuben, including Chemung County, Tioga County, Tompkins County, Delaware County, Shenango County, and Schuyler County. So it's basically the 8 counties that make up the state's designated economic development region. So the goal is to develop and identify the region and position the region for significant private sector investment in the next generation technologies and clean tech manufacturing, clean energy production and supply chain opportunities. What's this mean? We know that businesses around the globe and locally are investing in this space, with many of them not only looking to become net zero generators of carbon emissions, but also to develop the next generation of products. You know, the trend is to move away from fossil fuels, both, you know, from a private sector standpoint, but also a public policy standpoint. We know that we need to get there. And many businesses in our area and across the globe are trying to figure that out. How do we get there and how do they play a role in it? And that's what this strategic objective is going to identify and help us identify and how we can benefit from it in the region. In 2022, the United States was ranked third globally in low carbon spending at $141 billion, with China leading the globe at $546 billion invested, and the European Union being second at $180 billion. I think next slide, we'll catch up there. There we go. Perfect. In 2022, though, the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act set a goal to achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2050. This is going to establish the United States as the new global leader by incentivizing domestic production of clean energy technologies and promoting the domestic sourcing of clean energy. We're positive that we are positioned in this region to be a leader in the state to help advance this growth. Next slide. Why are we positioned? Whoops, back up one. Perfect. Why do we think we're positioned? Well, the Southern Tier is already a state leader in the clean energy economy with many unique assets. We've got nationally recognized academic and research universities, including Binghamton University, Cornell, and Alfred. We also generate the most renewable power in New York State through our wind and solar assets. Jill cringes every time I say, you know, we are a state leader and a state leader. I often say we are the state leader, but she reminds me that we're neck and neck with Lewis County as far as the generation of clean energy. And with the projects that we have on the docket, including Barren Wind Phase 2, Canastillo Wind, Prattsburg Wind, and a number of solar projects, you know, we're going to continue to grow in the state and hopefully become the leader in renewable energy generation. You know, with our wind and solar assets in the region between 2018 and 2022, the region's capacity grew by over 1,500 megawatts and over $1 billion being invested. With Steuben County leading the region in investment with over 500 megawatts of generation already being produced and another 832 megawatts of projects slated for construction in the next 5 years. In addition, Binghamton University has been securing a number of federally backed initiatives, including a Build Back Better grant, tech hub designation around their battery technology initiatives. They've got Nobel Prize research going on in lithium ion battery technology. And then recently they just received $160 million research engine grant to help advance those technologies. In addition to that, as we talk to our companies, we know that there are anchor companies committed to investing in clean energy technologies. Just in Steuben County, companies like Corning Incorporated, Siemens Energy, and Alstom are all looking at the future and trying to determine what is that next energy source and how can they play a role in it. So as I said, we started, next slide, please. We started talking with our counterparts in Broome County, and we developed a proposal that we shipped out to a number of consulting groups. We didn't want this to be just another economic development plan, but we were really looking at groups that were engaged and involved in site selection. Especially site selection in this field. And Newmark was one of the firms that rose to the top. They are actively engaged with working with companies as a commercial leader in real estate and in corporate site selection. And they just completed the semiconductor analysis along the Thruway corridor in the state of New York by really reverse engineering and doing a reverse site selection model to determine what these companies are looking for and how we as a community can build our assets around that. As I said, we wanted it to be more than just an economic development plan. We really wanted it to be a strategy on how we could leverage the private sector investments that these companies are looking at and take a really hard look at our sites and our communities to determine where we fall short and where we need to be focusing our investment. As I said, they just completed the economic development or the semiconductor analysis, working with Empire State Development along the Thruway corridor to take advantage of Micron. And we know that their economic development team is qualified to take a look at this next generation of renewable resources. Just click the button. There we go. Newmark Economic Development Consulting is a leader in strategic planning and target industry analysis, workforce and talent development, asset-based community development advisory, and stakeholder and community engagement. And we feel each one of those assets will help us further define what it is that we are trying to grow around this clean energy and clean tech strategy and sector that we feel is a real opportunity for the region. Next one. You can click again. This is what happens when I try to get cute and animate my slide presentation. So when we talk about the clean tech strategy, what is it that we are looking to do? Well, based on the proposal that we've accepted from Newmark, we are going to be doing an analysis of clean energy and clean tech industry growth potential in the Southern Tier. They're going to be coming out and physically meeting with these companies that we've identified and are working with, who we know are playing in this space. We want them to meet with Corning. We want them to meet with Alstom. We want them to meet with Siemens. We want them to meet with BAE Systems in Broome County and all of the other businesses that are in the region to really identify what the opportunities are locally, because you know it's no secret that it's easier to grow what you have than it is to try to attract new. Go ahead. They're also going to create an asset inventory around the work that they're going to be doing by talking to these companies. We need to do that baseline economic profile to determine what our strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities are. They'll be actually completing a SWOT analysis as part of this work that they're going to be doing to create this asset inventory for us. Next. We talked about the regional SWOT analysis for clean energy and clean tech opportunities. While we know that there are a lot of opportunities out there, we see the leads coming from the state all the time. We really aren't sure how we stack up. The leads that are coming through have significant infrastructure requirements attached to them, both from an electrical standpoint, but also from, you know, in many cases, a water and sewer standpoint, as they use it for process controls. We need to really take a deep dive and figure out, okay, you know, what do we have and where do we need to make our investments in order to be an attractive location for some of these investments? Next. Then they're also going to be doing a comprehensive review and cataloging of our available industrial sites in the Southern Tier. This is going to include a readiness assessment for the region's most promising sites. And then they're going to target 15 throughout the region to really do this deep dive analysis on and begin to show us how, you know, we stack up and where we need to make our investments. I can tell you in Steuben County, you know, I think, you know, what we're going to find is that we need bigger sites and we need bigger sites with more infrastructure attached to them. And we've already started looking at where we may be able to make those investments. Next one. And then finally, they're going to be making recommendations for improving the Southern Tier's existing clean energy and clean tech sector growth prospects. This, you know, again, all ties into what are our current assets and how can we improve those to attract more investment in the clean energy field? The picture that you just saw, I just wanted to point it out. That's a new biodigester that just came on online at Lent Hill Farms. An amazing project that they're working on up there to generate over 2 megawatts of electricity. I point this out because this is a perfect example of opportunities that we are struggling to develop because they will use about half of that power. The other half, they have no way of getting out into the grid because it's going to cost millions of dollars to build an electric line to get this into the NYSEG system. This is just one of a number of opportunities that we know we're missing out on and that we hope this clean tech strategy will help us identify opportunities where we can improve and make investments to attract more of this. Next slide. In addition to the work that they've proposed in the initial proposal they gave to us, strategy proposal, they've also proposed three additional pieces of work. One is going to be an industrial site discovery program, which, you know, they're using spatial GIS technology. I'm not really sure I understand it, but they're going to take a hard look at the region and where our current infrastructure is in the region, and then help us try to identify sites around that current infrastructure. And in many cases, that current infrastructure may be around existing buildings and in existing communities, something that we typically don't take a look at because we're usually so focused on where can we find 100 acres of greenfield space. So what this geospatial analysis is going to do is take all of our assets, take a look at the assets, including our infrastructure assets, and then begin to identify areas where they think we should be focusing our investments, not where we tend to focus our investments. The Phillips property is a great example. You know, taking a look at existing infrastructure capacities around areas where there may have been past development, and then utilizing that to develop new industrial sites. Next, click on. They've also recommended a peer community comparison, you know, taking a look at other similar communities and regions across the country and showing us how we stack up so we can, again, begin to identify where we need to do the work. And then the final piece is a prospective company list at the end. You know, once we have gone through the strategy, you know, they are prepared based on, you know, their analysis and in their context to give us a prospective company list of companies that we as a region can go out and try to attract. So next steps and where are we? The total project is going to cost $300,000 to do. That includes the additional work that we just outlined. We currently have commitments of all eight of the IDAs at a rate of $211,000, with Broome, Chemung, and Steuben being the leaders at $50,000 each. That's a contribution from each of the individual IDAs towards this, and then the remaining five IDAs making up the rest of that $211,000. So those commitments are in place. We've got signed MOUs, and we're getting ready to move forward with that. Next. We've also got funding applications submitted to NYSEG for $50,000. We got word this week that that's in good shape, and we should be getting a commitment letter from that any day now. And then click the next button. Then the remaining funding we're hoping will come from ESD, that Empire State Development, the state's economic development organization. We have an application into them, and it was presented to their project review committee last week. And again, we're hoping to get a final answer on that by early next week. Next button. Assuming we get those two other grants in the next few days, this is an older slide. I said kickoff in February, but based on our discussions with Newmark, we really feel like it's going to be an early March kickoff. Click on the next slide. With a 9-month scope of work. So, you know, understanding that we're hoping to have this strategy complete over the next 12 months or by the end of the year for a 9-month completion. So at the end of the year, we'll be able to have this just in time to begin our budgeting process and our thought process for the 2025 budget season. So we can really begin to think about what we want to do in 25 to try to attract investments in this sector. Questions? No, I rambled through that quite quickly.
Yeah, Jamie, this clean energy technology is the way we need to go. My concern is we've already seen this with the wind turbines, and we'll see it with the solar panels. When they come to the end of life use, there needs to be a means mechanism for recycling all of this stuff. And it's going to be a massive amount of stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. So a couple things. First off, when we talk about clean tech and clean energy, this strategy goes beyond just the generation. For example, you know, we know there are several companies, I mean, it's no secret, I'll use Alstom, it's public right now. They're testing a hydrogen engine in Canada. So they're seeing things like hydrogen as an opportunity, you know, utilizing the batteries and the technology as a component. So, you know, how can we leverage those opportunities here locally, knowing that we've got all of this research going on at Binghamton University? You know, we're looking at ways from a policy standpoint where we may be able to take advantage and capture some of the renewable generation that's going on here instead of having it go to the grid in order to use that as an attraction tool. To your point about recycling and being able to take advantage of that, we actually had a meeting yesterday with Momentum of New York, which is a local based company that just got their permitting from DEC last month. Finally, I think I'm looking at Jill. She's been working with them. Momentum actually is in the process of securing investors to make this a bigger project. Their whole goal is to reduce landfill waste primarily in this field. You saw some of what they were looking at doing, and that was just a test run when they had the wind blades out by the interstate. Everybody said it was ugly. Everybody said it was horrible. What they were doing there was simply testing the technology to make sure it would work. And the reason those things piled up last year was because in order to grind them up, they needed to have water as part of the process, and they couldn't keep the water from freezing up. So they had to shut down their process in the December, January, and February timeframe. That process now has been permitted, and they're going to be moving that out to near the Amazon facility in the town of Bath along 54, where they're going to be building a new facility to be able to do that process and others as they look to try to capture and reclaim much of these panels and wind turbines and battery waste that is going to be a result of this. You know, on the battery technology side, I can tell you Binghamton University is actually looking at ways, and part of their research right now is looking at ways at recapturing those precious metals in the batteries and trying to recycle the batteries instead of having all of that go into a landfill and having to rely on other countries to bring in precious metals. You know, they're actually looking at ways to recapture that. So there is a lot of effort going into just that. And you know, you can argue that that's all part of this clean tech strategy. You know, it's not just about generation. It's about the entire industry sector that revolves around that generation and the reduction of carbon emissions.
Wasn't there an effort to get a plant established here in New York State for the recycling of the electric batteries for electric cars and so forth?
I know a lot of people are looking at that, and it has to happen. I mean, it just has to happen. And again, those are some of the opportunities that we hope to look at as part of this work that we're doing with Newmark.
Good.
Yes.
So as part of this, as the strategy unfolds, what's the timeline for the output of this, the Newmark report?
So, I'd have to pull the Newmark strategy. The final work, everything is supposed to be complete in the next 9 months.
Okay.
So various components of that are going to be completed sooner. I'd have to look at the proposal to tell you, you know, where those components lie. I don't expect to have any outputs from Newmark until late summer, early fall, when, you know, after they do the field work. Sure. And they start to do the analysis. We're already trying to secure property, you know, to get ready for this. We're already, at least in our county, trying to secure property and identify property where we know the infrastructure lies, simply based on the leads that we're getting from the state of New York. What the hope is that this will help us not only advance that, but really help us target those business opportunities that we can then go after. There's a lot of excitement around this strategy, not only locally, but we've been meeting with the state of New York, NYSERDA, which is their sort of energy arm of in their economic development team. They've actually talked to us about, you know, after we get the strategy done, how we can work with them to develop a marketing strategy around it for the region. And then we can take that marketing strategy and partner with them to go out to trade shows and identify other ways that we can attract this investment here. So I think there's a lot that is hinging on this, and a lot of opportunity that will follow once we get the strategy developed and we begin to identifying where we need to invest in those physical assets in order to attract that investment.
And so while this unfolds, this strategy, right, is there an ancillary strategy to how to support it and prepare some of these other pieces? You know, you mentioned Phillips being a great example of an industrial site that sits next to infrastructure as a prime location, right? I'm looking at the Foundry and Painted Post mm-hmm. being another, you know, good site. But how do we make investments to prepare these, what we kind of know to be decent sites, for when this strategy ultimately is revealed?
So those two opportunities are great examples of work that we have been doing up front. So the Village of Painted Post received a Fast New York grant. Mm-hmm. We have a financial commitment to help partner with them on that. Fast New York grant, combined with hopefully a soon to be announced ARC grant, will allow them to do a site assessment and determine what the maximum build out potential of that site is. So we're already a year ahead of where this strategy would intend us to be on that site. So we can go to the Village and we can say, okay, here's what the maximum potential is. You, Village of Painted Post, have to now approve that maximum potential or something less. So when we bring you a project, There's no public debate. There's no public hearings with people with signs and pitchforks and everything else, because we are going to set, you know, we're basically going to set policy, and we're going to have you pre-permit the site based on whatever it is we agree to based off of that analysis for full maximum build out. We're doing something very similar where we've applied for an ARC grant, which we hope will be announced in this same round. To do that along the Route 54 corridor. So we can take a look at Phillips and all of the land around that, and we can determine what maximum build out potential is. And we can get that land under contract, hopefully, to develop an industrial site, which will then align with the strategy work that we're doing. So some of that is already being done. We need to do more of it. We absolutely need to do more, because I mean, right now, if a company calls us, we've got Wayland. You know, we've got our site in Wayland, and we've got the Foundry site, which we really don't know what the Village is going to allow to go on there. So that's it. You know, now that LP is here, our industrial sites are slim. So we need to be doing more of that and securing property, so then we can redevelop.
So then I would then ask you, what kind of municipal collaboration or cooperation is also going to be, you know, involved? Jill and I both sit on, you know, Irwin has its own IDA board, right? And we just entered into an agreement to lease out, or promise to lease out, our IDA land to a solar mm-hmm. company for a few, obviously, you know, an extended contract. But that ties up property that could very well be a site that would make sense for, you know, this strategy. So how much at what point do we begin to start spreading the good news of the strategy to say, you know, this could be part of some of your local efforts as well?
don't go seeking the small fish, right? When you, there could very well be big fish coming along the line, and we need more land.
Yes. The land piece, I would say we need to start thinking about that harder, and we need to think about it in different ways. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to county planning and worked with Dan to say, okay, show me where we can compile 200 acres near an interstate, or that's flat, that's out of the floodplain. We'd have that analysis done. What we need to start thinking about is, okay, where can we think about infrastructure and think about site development differently? So I would challenge our communities to start thinking about you know, sites a little bit differently, other than just a big field that you can put something on. Because big fields you can put something on always have challenges because they never have infrastructure. So we need to start thinking about things differently. That may mean demolition. That may mean securing 15 parcels that have old houses on them. I don't know. And that's what that geospatial analysis is intended to do. I would challenge communities to start thinking about that now. I would also start challenging communities to think about their infrastructure and where that infrastructure lies. We're not going to wait 9 months for this strategy. We need to get the contract signed with Newmark. We're days away from doing that. We need to, you know, they need to get their team assembled. That's why it's going to take until March. And I would hope that by, you know, I'll say June, July timeframe, things are going to start clearing up as we have conversations with the businesses and the other partners that are playing in this realm. To start thinking about what it is from a planning and development and an investment standpoint we need to do. You know, we talk about Phillips, we talk about the Foundry site. Those are available parcels. I don't know if they're going to fit this strategy. We're assuming they are, but we could learn something really different come July or August. So, you know, we don't want to move too fast. We want to be ready, but you know, I think we need this work. We really need to know what it is we are going after before we go after it.
I agree. I think this is great. Thank you.
Yes.
I always get nervous about the way that the clean energy is sold, because in order for it to be productive, you know, we either have to subsidize it, or we have to, or we're charging these batteries. We're burning the fossil fuels in other places. You know, we say, well, we're going to reduce fossil fuels. Well, we may reduce them here, but we're going to be burning them somewhere else unless we're supplying those charges for nuclear energy or through windmill technology, and solar technology, which we know is subsidized. And so that's what makes me nervous. And I know the residents have been savvy to that. So I think you're definitely going to meet some resistance on that end from our residents. But that being said, I do think that we have to do something, because the state's going to shove this down our throat no matter what we do. So we have to be ready for it.
Well,
but I think the sale on the selling of it isn't going to be as easy, because you know what I'm
And that's why we've been very careful not to say this is a clean energy generation project. This in our minds evolves beyond the generation of the clean energy. And it's not just solar and wind. You know, I was with the president of Siemens Energy a couple of weeks ago. And he was talking about by 2035, they think hydrogen is going to start replacing a lot of this other, you know, this other work that we're doing. He also talked a lot about modular nuclear, you know, small portable nuclear units. And so, you know, we want to look beyond the New York State policy, mm-hmm. because we know that we have to as a globe, and this is the way the globe is going globally. You know, developed countries are looking at the reduction of fossil fuel emissions. That's just where the world is trending. We can sit here and debate policy all you want, but we also know that companies are investing heavily in developing technologies and using those technologies in other aspects. And so while we love the generation and it's allowed us to make investments in things like this, we think there's an entire different and new opportunity beyond a windmill and a solar array. you know, and we want to go after that manufacturing. We want to be able to say, okay, Alstom, if you want to build hydrogen trains, build them here. You know, and I throw that out there because I know that they're testing hydrogen trains, and I have said that to them. But you know, are there other, where are those other opportunities? Where do those other opportunities lie? You know, do we go out and try to attract somebody to manufacture modular nuclear reactors? I don't know. You know, that's what we want to look at with this strategy, and we want to see where those opportunities are beyond just the generation. And we've been very careful to say this is not a renewable energy generation plan. This is a clean tech plan, a clean energy plan.
Anything further for Jamie? Yeah, Nick?
Regards with the Phillips project, I know last year at this time you came in and we weren't going to remediate the concrete because they're worried about snowpack. Mm-hmm. You said the same thing last month. Is we're going to get to next February and hear the same story, or are they actually going to move on that project?
They have been, all I can tell you, Nick, is what they're telling me. And they're telling me that they're ready to sign the contracts. They've gone through the bid process. They're just waiting for DEC to give them the green light to be able to pull that. So
DEC is the hold
yeah,
on it.
Yeah. To pull up that slab.
And I'm sure with the, being a budget year for or budget time for Albany, there's probably no movement on the Providence Line project as far as more tax credits to move that project forward.
They just got an additional allocation of tax credits. I just talked to them earlier this week, late last week. And they just did get an updated allocation. There's still a gap. And it's that gap that they're trying to work to close now. Yeah.
Thank you.
Carol?
Jamie, I was just going to share with you, I was at one of my town meetings, and I was talking about LP coming into the industrial site. And a lady after the meeting came up to me and said that she had put the LP siding on her house, and she loves it.
Good.
And she bought it at Corning Building Company.
Great.
So I thought that was a great story.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Locally.
There's a lot of product moving in and out of that site, a ton of product. If you haven't been by, there is product everywhere. And every time the train engine blows, I smile. I run into Jill's office and I'm like, there's our train.
It's a great success story.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Jill. Kevin, you're up.
Morning,
sir.
We've got a couple items to report to you on. The first one, I presented last year concept of the Destination Development Grant Program. I've been given this permission to move forward with defining that a little bit more. And one of the items was sent in your packets were the application and the reporting process for that program. But before you make decisions on that, it's asked for me to just kind of review what that initial program was, just those that are new and for those that may just a really refresher. So central to our work, obviously, is first of all, if those of you that know who I'm with the Steuben County Conference and Visitors Bureau. We are a 501c6 nonprofit organization that's primarily funded by occupancy tax. So this program here is a natural fit for our organization to be involved with. While Steuben County is a naturally welcoming community, actually the primary reason for ensuring visitors to enjoy their experience in Steuben County is as it benefits our residents. When people visit our county, they spend money here, create jobs for our families, generate incremental tax dollars, and providing us economic opportunities and supporting the amenities of the enhanced quality of life for those of us lucky enough to call this home. Use our tourism in a sustainable and responsible manner to build a better life for the residents of Steuben County. And the Steuben County Destination Development Grant Program is a natural evolution of work to provide a platform to foster that future growth, sustainability, and development of Steuben County's visitor economy. The proposed program and application process have been developed over the past 6 months in collaboration with the county manager, AIP chair, SCCB board of directors, and input from the AIP committee and Steuben County legislators. The Conference and Visitors Bureau, as a designated tourism promotion agency for Steuben County, will administer all county destination development grant applications in collaboration with the Steuben County AIP committee and county legislators. And the total available funds for the destination development program will be based on occupancy tax collections of the year prior. The The applications will be reviewed and selected for funding through the following process. All submitted applications will be reviewed and scored by a 5-member grants committee, of which we've assembled. The grants committee is a strong representation from across the county for all communities. The grants committee will send the top scoring grants for review and vote by the SECB board of directors. Applications that meet all requirements and are selected through the grants committee and voted on by the board of directors will be sent to the Steuben County AIP committee with recommendations for award of funds. Steuben County AIP committee will vote on the final grant. Priorities of the development grant program are to foster creative ideas that have meaningful impact on the people who live and work in Steuben County, have a direct impact on tourism promotion in Steuben County, impact across multiple municipal boundaries, encourage collaboration, and leverage additional resources. The more of these priorities that are addressed, the higher an application will score in the reviewing process. Grants will vary widely, ranging from just probably a few thousand dollars to potentially up to $50,000, depending on the funds available. We anticipate that the average grant award would be around $25,000, and that's based on other programs around the country, what they've seen. But more modest requests are welcome and encouraged, and qualified applications we've decided for the initial year would be limited to not 501c3 or 501c6 nonprofit organizations. All applicants are required to show a 50% cash or in-kind match for consideration of the grant award. And some exceptional circumstances will be considered at the discretion of the IP committee. The grants committee strongly encourages applicants to reach out for an informal assessment of their idea or concept prior to submission of a formal application. And project categories can include beautification, visitor services, wayfinding, outdoor recreation projects, accessibility, events, and tourism experiences. If awarded, organizations are required to submit a closing report to the Steuben County Destination Development Grant Committee. The closing report must include proof of project completion, including copies of paid invoices associated with the project. These reports will be compiled and then submitted to the AIP committee for review and filing. Funds are paid on a reimbursement basis. Organizations must incur expense with funds being dispersed upon completion of the grant project. Steuben County Destination Development application is for this program would be for the 2024 funding period, of which will be the application process period will be October 15th through November 15th. The grants committee will then review and score applications a month after via email and digital format. The grants committee will meet virtually to discuss any applications as for today. We're asking the AIP committee to vote on accepting the application process and closing reports. And we also will need to talk about designating what the amount of funds would be for them.
Yeah, so yeah, thanks, Kevin. And so from a recommendation standpoint, as Kevin mentioned, you know, we work closely. He collaborated, you know, between his organization and shared materials back and forth, you know, to get some thoughts on the application process. I'm not sure that we're ready to set an amount right now because, as we mentioned, with the utilization of Granicus software for the short-term rentals, that got off to a late start unexpectedly. So we don't yet have what I would call a good understanding of what that incremental pot of funds really is, what that amount is. So I think, you know, it would be very beneficial if you folks were comfortable with the grant or with the application process, with the processes that Kevin has laid out through this. And then we'll work together. And at some point later in the year, once we have a better idea of, you know, what those funding amounts look like, what the extra dollars from these short-term rentals look like, we could then bring it back for
now,
right.
Just look to get the application process defined.
So right.
Build up the electronic systems.
Yep.
Be able to.
So do you want to vote any application systems?
If you're comfortable, yeah.
Committee, any comments come in?
Nick has a question.
Yeah, Nick.
I see that the applicants need to be 501c3s or sixes. Was any consideration made to 501c5s?
The thought was start with, and I'm not sure if Kevin had any conversations with the fives. I mean, you know, that in my view is up for debate. It was essentially thought to keep to to start before you open the program up to potentially private businesses. So
C5 is a nonprofit.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So
I mean, we can define that more as if the committee feels comfortable, we can talk about that as the development committee too, as the definition of nonprofit.
You could expand it to include all nonprofits.
Thank you.
I have a motion to accept the process.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
And I know you've had challenges with the Granicus program and getting that off the ground. I just wanted to just give you the based on our data that we get for shareholder properties, as for 2023, the combination between Airbnb and VRBO revenue booked was $14,578,000. And there was 16,235 reservations made in 2023. Right now, we are currently at 748 individual listings in Steuben County. And as of for January this year, we are already at about, I think it's 1.2 million already reserved for the first month, which is a typically slower month. The second thing I have, I just wanted to give a 2023. In the past year, Explore Steuben has effectively leveraged digital platforms, captivated content, and targeted outreach. Audience, our collaborative endeavors with local businesses and community stakeholders and have strengthened our tourism ecosystem. Visitor feedback and engagement metrics demonstrate growing interest in Steuben County, reflecting the positive impact of our promotional efforts. 2024 presents new opportunities with hosting the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association in September, installing digital visitor information kiosks to enhance our visitor services, growing and supporting key events, launching a new website, on exciting outdoor recreation development projects. As we navigate the evolving landscape of travel trends, Explore Steuben is poised to continue its dynamic role in shaping the county as a destination of choice, fostering sustainable growth for years to come. In 2023, we saw $35.5 million in Smith Travel Research reported hotel revenue, which underscores the appeal of Steuben County's travelers with an 8% increase over 2020. Sale 305.6 thousand room nights is a testament to the allure of our accommodations, attracting visitors from various corners of the country, with 56% of our guests coming from out. We did show a 9% decline, resulting in a 47.3% hotel occupancy, but this was identified due to added rooms in 2023. With the opening of the Hornell Hampton Inn, the new improved rooms at Hometown Studio Suites and Painted Post and the renovation project Corning Madison. Occupancy percentages and measured used in the hotel industry to determine the percentage of available rooms that are occupied during a specific period. It is calculated by dividing the number of rooms sold by the number of rooms available for sale and multiplying by one. Steuben County's top visitor origin markets remain similar to Buffalo, New York, and Rochester, holding as our top feeder markets in state. We have identified Harrisburg as our top market target market in 2024, because Harrisburg as market has accounted for 2.7% of visitors in 2023, while their spend per visitor was the highest of all visitors, accounting for 13.3% of the total visitor spend.
Do you have any idea why?
They just drink
a lot of wine in Harrisburg or what?
Can't dial into the very specifics of what they're spending on, but they just like spending their money here. I know there's pretty affluent markets, and the Harrisburg market includes areas like Lancaster, York counties, and then over just outside of Philly.
Okay.
Some of those suburbs outside of that market. So it's a highly affluent market. Our campaigns in Philadelphia and Detroit and Toronto in 23 resulted in large increases in our website traffic from those target markets. Detroit topped it with 1,036% increase, and a 392% increase from Toronto. We would potentially see those markets impacting visitor spending. It's usually about a year or two out from marketing. Explore Steuben, our digital touchpoint potential visitors experience an 11% dip in sessions, which was 246,000. While the decrease from 2022 was, as I've updated tracking methods now used by Google Analytics, changing the way they measured a qualified session to a more accurate representation of user engagement. Session, qualified session is how long they stay within the session. Rochester, New York, with the top visited website pages included community and our event pages. Our areas visited, tracked a sample set of 28,355 devices in our county and 21,742 credit card transactions. Pouring maintained our top visited area in 23, welcoming 56.7% of total tracked visitors. Central Steuben, which includes Bath, Campbell, and Savona area, welcomed 16%. And 36 Corridor Hornell welcomed 13.9%. I will note we saw an 8.2% increase in that market, and we saw primarily from the Rustic and Wild campaign that we've been promoting that. Our top visitor age is within the 55 to 65 plus range, making up 53% of our tracked visitors. Our top spend categories are food at 39%, gas 23%, accommodations at 13%. Our digital media channels have impressive growth in 23, reaching over 2.5 million visitors, increasing content frequency and continued development of new content. We've been able to see a 256% increase to a local media engagement. We used to measure by impressions. Impressions is just when it shows up and somebody sees it. Engagements is when they actually engagement is a qualified potential visitor taking interest in action on our posted content. Email campaigns 23 also performed well for us with a 42% open rate, well above industry standards. Our creative team has been busy creating and developing more content to tell Steuben County stories. We had a release of a documentary style video, The Crystal City, a story of Corning's resilience and innovation. The production and distribution of the Steuben County Experience Guide and Steuben Wine Guide. And we are also just finishing up filming and production of the influence of European winemakers on the Finger Lakes wine region video, which is scheduled to release in April 2024. We are excited to welcome the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association in September. And we are representing the entire Finger Lakes, of which we are collaborating with all TPAs throughout the 14 county Finger Lakes region. So we're excited to have them come here in September. We're making great progress on the development of a new regional water trail connecting the waterways of the New York Susquehanna Basin. The water trail, which will stretch 190 miles from Corning to Cooperstown, will drive tourism and economic development along the Chemung and from that. So the core committee should be some new press releases coming out on the development very soon, actually. We are making, we are installing 6 digital information kiosks. Remember, we requested a special project last year that's already underway. We've got to have conversations with all the sites for those. We have 2 remaining to confirm. We're installing 6 digital information kiosks throughout the county to enhance our visitor service and to entice further exploration of longer stays. We'll also continue to grow our Finger Lakes Farm Country 5 County Agritourism Promotion Campaign, connecting locals with visitors to over 200 agricultural businesses. Some steps that we're planning to take to continue growth in 2024 is to reach into our future key visitor markets based upon our research data. Identified markets for 24 are again Harrisburg and Lancaster area, Buffalo, New York City, Rochester, Detroit, and Toronto. These campaigns will position Steuben County as a place to stay. Also, a launch of new website in 24 with stunning imagery, videos, and content highlighting all the Steuben County has to offer. We'll build on our successful public relations efforts to continue pushing us of Steuben County and tell the stories that set us apart. We also continue to collaborate on regional campaigns and product development to position Steuben County as a top destination. The CVB was excited to see projects in 23 and beginning in 24 of the Corning Museum of Glass Studio expansion opening, expansions of Steuben Brewing Company in Vice Vineyards, the opening of the new Living Roots Winery, the opening of New Hampton Inn Hotel in Hornell, and the remodel of the Radisson Hotel project. We're proud to have contributed and supported to these projects and many more through letters of support and data sharing as we shared our research with each of them. As we reflect on 23, it's evident that Steuben County continues to be a sought-after destination with hotels, impressive hotel revenues, diverse visitor demographics, and digital metrics all contribute to a narrative of our commitment to understanding and adapting to external factors will be crucial in ensuring the sustained growth and appeal of Steuben County as a premier destination. And we thank you to the chair and committee for supporting our organization.
Have questions? Nick.
So you guys do a great job promoting the Corning area. I've been on the website extensively here lately. I know you're going to do a new website. I feel that your portraying of the rest of the county is lackluster at best, to be honest with you. Where do you get your information on like festivals and things like that? Do you actually go out and find them or do we have to submit those?
So a lot of stuff is tracked through a program that we have, Zartico, and they do device tracking and expenditure tracking and then heat mapping of visitors within.
Because on the current website, there's no mention of the Dairy Festival, Colacto Fall Foliage Festival that got national recognition years ago on Good Morning America with their tree sitting contest, things like that. I also clicked on Family Fun and this picture came up. Can you tell me where that picture was taken and why and what that shouts Family Fun?
Was that on calendar, or did you pull
events
off of events calendar?
Yep.
So the events calendar is pulled outside of our website from ITI Digital.
So do you monitor this?
It's dependent on whatever image is attached to that event within the Facebook or whatever.
Would you like to know what event this image is attached to?
Sure.
The Steuben County Fair.
Okay. So I'm happy to look into that. And I always open to you to please reach out to us because.
But this is the type of stuff that's all over. Corning is highlighted immensely. Mm-hmm. Reese Ranch Rodeo has a huge presence on your site. Annual events. How many people attend the Age of Incandescence?
The Days of Incandescence. It's about a couple thousand.
40,000 people at the Steuben County Fair, and you can't get to their website without eight clicks.
So the new website has addressed a lot of that. So I think you'll be happy to see the changes that'll happen because we are pulling communities out. So you'll be able to see more of that. Events is going to be up in front. We have had some challenges with ITI Digital and the events is the way it's pulling because a lot of times what will happen, it won't always pull from the primary event host. So for example, the Steuben County Fairgrounds, if you're hosting the Steuben County Fair, but there's other third-party sites that may be promoting it, whether it's ticket platforms or other promotional calendars or whatever it might be, it doesn't pull a primary photo that's necessarily optimal.
So your staff is relying on all these outside things to get content to the Steuben County website.
Because in the past, we had nothing. So it's been an improvement, but I will admit it's not a perfect system. So we don't always see that stuff because there's hundreds of listings. So if you do see something like that, please reach out.
And what is 10 times partner?
What's that?
The 10 times partner.
The 10 times partner, what do you mean?
It's on your website. When you click on events and stuff, this 10 times partner shows up and wants email addresses, all this stuff. In fact, that's linked to the Steuben County Fair one for ticket sales.
That's probably a third party site that's feeding into that. And again, if you send me all that information, I'm happy to work with you, Nick, and get that all cleaned up and
make it a better representation. You know, the amount of money that the county spends with you guys, mm-hmm. that when I look at the web and I hope that this makes a clear thing to you to do better with the website.
Sure.
Because it's just, it's all pointing.
I appreciate that's the feedback. Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, in website, the old website is consuming is where our new one's not launched yet. We were pulling all that information. There were some challenges with the company Simple View that we were working with of that information flowing freely and updates happening correctly, which is primary reason why we moved away from them to develop a new website. And we did have to go with ITI Digital for events because it was really, really difficult for us to get a true accurate representation of all the events happening within the county. While that being said, we've improved our events calendar immensely. We run into challenges like that occasionally, pointed out. But I appreciate your feedback and I'm happy to sit down with you and make sure we get that all cleaned up.
Yeah, it's interesting, Kevin. You said on that Route 36 corridor, we started working on that years ago to build that back up. Yes. Or at least identify that area need to really be built back up. And now you see the numbers are getting much better. Any further questions? Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Anything else, sir?
Nothing else. Nope. And sorry, long series of meetings. I didn't do a good job spacing out presenters. So do a better job next time.
I have one question.
Yeah, Scott.
What I think it was just Wendy and I sat through the mock legislative session of the students last month. And one of they all present something. What they didn't understand is I added up what they presented. It was about $1.6 million in additional county spending. So it wouldn't have passed, but one of the resolutions that one of them had was there is no place on the county website that identifies all the hiking trails in the county. Now I went onto the county website. I went looking for parks. You have to go to Public Works and then find parks below that. Every single park has a hiking trail and there's a nice PDF map, but only of our parks. Is there any way or anybody else that we could get information from?
Yeah.
Cause I'm not a hiker. You'd be surprised.
I cannot believe that. We'll work with, that's probably working with Kevin, to identify. I know those resources are out there. I mean, there's Finger Lakes. If you Google Finger Lakes Trail, they have their own map.
Yeah.
A lot of our parks connect to the Finger Lakes Trail. So,
yep.
Yeah, we can jot that down as something to do.
All right. I thought that was probably the lowest cost resolution they offered, but I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, so we'll work on that.
I have a question.
Yes, yeah.
Is there any way that the county can assist in the development of the fuel station that's supposed to be going in Wayland, but it's on hold?
Development of what? I'm sorry.
It's a fuel station and a fast food restaurant that's on hold because of the expansion of the road. It's similar to the situation of the Amazon.
Yeah, that's a Jamie question. Jamie can answer that.
We actually have been talking with developers. And it's
if Jamie, you probably want to go up there.
We've actually been engaged with the developers as recently as 2 weeks ago. It's really more of a them issue than it is a road issue. They haven't even developed a engineering design and presented it to DOT for DOT's approval. So when they say that the road is holding it up, DOT doesn't even have anything to react on. Rack too, because they haven't even submitted anything to DOT for their reaction. So it's really not DOT or a public holdup. It's really a holdup on their end. And I think I have no way to confirm this, but originally that was supposed to be a quick lease and it was going to be a quick lease partnered with a private developer and quick lease backed out. So the private developer is trying to do it on their own and they aren't really a mini mart convenience store operator or business. So I think that's where some of the struggles come in, but it is a them issue, not an issue of DOT or anybody in the public.
Where's this located?
Right off from 390.
It's a Wayland industrial park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I talked to him, exchanged emails, talked to him personally, right after the first of the year, because Mr. Malter called me on it as well. And I reached out and said, you know, what's going on? And they haven't even submitted anything to DOT for approval. So when they say it's a money issue, they can't even say how much it is, because they haven't submitted anything.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Anything further? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Derek, thanks.